VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk. I have a question for you. Have you ever shied away from studying Bible prophecy because you thought it was too controversial? Or there were too many conflicting views? Or maybe it's just too hard to understand? Well, one of the things I appreciate about our guest today is that he's able to take difficult concepts and make them easier to understand. He's done that on so many books dealing on the topic of apologetics, and also he's done it in the area of Bible prophecy in a new book recently released entitled Basic Bible Prophecy, Essential Facts Every Christian Should Know. He explores the who, the what, the when, the where, and the why of Bible prophecy. With us today, we welcome back Dr. Ron Rhodes. Ron is president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries. He's a researcher, he's an author, and an apologist, having written 60-plus books, such titles as End Time Supertrends, 40 Days to Revelation, Unmasking the Antichrist, Israel on High Alert, Spiritual Warfare in the End Times, New Babylon Rising, The End Times in Chronological Order, numerous other titles as well. But with us today, discussing his recently released book, Basic Bible Prophecy, Essential Facts Every Christian Should Know. Ron, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's always a delight to speak with you, especially on such a relevant topic.
Oh, it really is. And Ron, before we get into the book itself, just a little bit about you to begin with. You indicate that your exposure to Bible prophecy was really a big contributing factor to you becoming a Christian. Tell us about it.
Well, it's true. You know, I used to attend a very liberal Christian church. That's what my parents raised us in. And by liberal, I mean it's a church that really didn't believe the Bible was the Word of God. It was written by men, and it did have inspiring thoughts in it, but the inspiration of Scripture was not part of the belief system. They did believe in the Second Coming, but to them, the Second Coming is whenever a person finds God again in their heart. And Jesus isn't the only way. There are many ways to salvation. So the point that I'm making, Jim, is I grew up in this atmosphere of liberalism, and it wasn't until I was exposed to Bible prophecy that I became a believer. And long story short, the fact that God can tell the future and the fact that those prophecies are found in the Bible, that confirmed to me that the Bible really is the Word of God.
Wow.
It's not the Word of men like I had been taught. And because of that, I ended up becoming a believer, and then my seven brothers and sisters became believers, and then several families on our block became believers.
Wow.
And prophecy played a central role in all of that. And so that points to the fact that, you know, you mentioned that I was an apologist. Well, part of apologetics involves the fact that Bible prophecy proves that the Bible is the Word of God. It's great for evangelism.
Indeed, it is. And we'll be delving more into that here today. Ron Rhodes with us. Ron, when you talk about prophecy, the topic will lead some to experience great anxiety. Others will be fearful. But on the flip side, you indicate that though we just opposite of that, we can have confidence and peace. Could you address that issue?
Well, that's right. I mean, over one-fourth of the Bible was prophetic when written. And God wants you to understand that one-fourth of the Bible. And the more that you understand that one-fourth of Scripture, which is prophetic, the more peace you have in your heart. One thing that prophecy taught me is that God is in control of the world. He's not just in control of the world, he's also in control of my life and the circumstances of my life. And so for that reason, I can have peace no matter what's happening. And just think about that, Jim. Look at the world around us today. There is so much to be distressed about. But my point is that no matter what is happening in the world, we can have the peace of Christ govern our hearts, absolutely reign in our hearts. And Bible prophecy is one thing that helps you get there. It helps you to foster this attitude of trust in a sovereign God who is controlling human history. And so, no, we don't have to have fear. We don't have to have anxiety about the future. I may not know the future, but I know the one who does know the future.
Amen.
And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And by the way, Jim, Jesus is the source of biblical prophecy. The book of Revelation was transferred from Jesus to John, who wrote the book of Revelation. All of the prophecies found in the Apostle Paul came from Jesus. Paul was the spokesperson for Jesus the Messiah. And the text of Scripture says that he told people whatever Christ told them to speak. And so all the prophecies in Paul came from him. And then in 1 Peter, we were told that Christ himself spoke through all the Old Testament prophets as well. And so, let me tell you, whatever Jesus says, you can trust.
Yeah, indeed. And by the way, Ron, isn't Revelation the one book of the Bible that has promised a blessing to the reader?
Well, actually, seven times in the book of Revelation, you're promised a special blessing. Now, let me tell you, Jim, I don't want to miss out on that blessing.
Hmm.
Some Christians walk about and they say, well, you know, I don't feel like I'm blessed by God. Well, do you want to get blessed by God? Study Bible prophecy.
Yeah.
Study the book of Revelation, and you're going to receive blessings from God. God promises it seven times in the book of Revelation.
But some will say, well, that's all future, Ron. It really doesn't matter. Yet you begin your book sharing with the reader how Bible prophecy is important. Would you address that?
Well, I do talk about the how of Bible prophecy, and that's a critical place to begin. You see, not only does the prophecies in the Bible prove that God is the true God, that's very important in itself, but Bible prophecy also promotes evangelism. It comforts us in our grief. It strengthens us when facing adversity. It proves that God will triumph over evil, and it also can bring special blessings to people. And the thing of it is that the Bible came from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. When we talk about the how of Bible prophecy, we're talking about the fact that God himself spoke through human beings. That's why in Scripture, whenever prophets spoke, the prophet always began by saying, thus saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are not human beings setting forth prophecies, you know, like a modern psychic might do. Rather, they are repeating what they heard directly from God. And if there's one thing that we learn from Scripture, it is that God is all-knowing. He knows the past, he knows the future, he knows everything in between. In fact, the future is just as clear to him as the present is to each one of us.
Wow.
You see, God is outside of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he looks down at the space-time universe that we live in, he sees all things from beginning to end. And that means that nothing can surprise him.
Yeah.
But in terms of what we're doing with this book, the main thing to keep in mind is that God has told us exactly what he wants us to know from Bible prophecy.
Yeah. Some people would say, well, Bible prophecy just makes people complacent, that, you know, I don't have to do anything, everything, you know, it's case, whatever is going to be is going to be. But shouldn't the study of prophecy really have that opposite effect and be a motivating factor for us?
Well, you're absolutely right. In fact, the people who, in my experience, the people who are most active as Christians are precisely those Christians who have a strong prophetic hope. They know where they're going. They know that heaven is the end for them. They know that even if they die in this world, they're going to be resurrected and live with Christ forever. Apart from that, we know what the future holds in terms of specific events. And I outline those events in this book. And all of that can produce a very strong sense of expectancy in us. It also produces righteousness and purity in us because we don't know when the Lord's coming for us.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, we want to be ready at every moment.
Yeah, let me ask you about that, Ron, because I know that there are those who said, you know, this prophecy, I want nothing to do with it. I've heard these self-proclaimed prophets. I mean, I remember back some decades ago when the book 88 Reasons Why I Believe the Rapture is going to Happen in 88. And I've seen some who've made prophecies even over the past 12 months, Ron, and these prophecies did not come to pass. And so all of a sudden now they're issuing apologies. How do you respond to this aspect, the self-proclaimed prophets?
Well, you know, it's humiliating. They should not be setting dates. Nobody should be setting dates. Even Jesus told us, none of us knows the day or the hour. He He says that only the Heavenly Father knows the day or the hour. And as you know, Jim, I've written in my books, including in this book, precisely why we should not engage in date setting. It's not only that it's an embarrassment, but let me just be as pointed as I can. The track record of people setting forth those kinds of prophecies is 100% wrong. You know, that should tell you something, shouldn't it?
It should.
100% error. And that means, you know, you shouldn't do it, and you shouldn't listen to anybody that does do it. As far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't use my donation money to give to any ministry that does that, simply because you're helping promote that error. Furthermore, you know, people have a tendency to make decisions based upon their beliefs. And so if there's some teacher out there setting forth a prophecy that he says, you know, maybe the rapture is going to happen on such and so date, people stop saving for the future. They stop saving for retirement. Students of college age might decide not to go to college because they think the end is coming soon. Other people might spend all their savings and buy a shelter and armaments and go to some hill in Montana somewhere. You know, these are unhealthy things. And teachers who are sensationalistic that set dates, they're helping to promote that kind of mindset. And still further, you know, Jim, we've got so many young Christians among us who don't know much better, and you can actually damage the faith of a young Christian when a prophecy does not come to pass. Yeah. I can give you a good example of this. Over in Korea, there was a big prophecy, a big church, that gave a specific date for the prophecy. And all the people gathered in the church waiting for it to happen. And when midnight came and the bell struck, the rapture had not happened. And people left the church, and there was a television crew that went up to one of the church members and asked what happened. And this young person who didn't know any better said, "God let us down. God lied to us."
Wow, wow.
Now let me tell you something. It wasn't God that did that.
Yeah.
It was a false teacher. It was somebody that set forth a prophecy that had no business setting forth a prophecy. True prophecies come from God, period. Thus saith the Lord. And that's why in my book I don't include any of those things that these people are saying.
Right.
I focus on the Scriptures and the Scriptures alone. And you know what, Jim? God is never wrong. In fact, when you look at all the prophecies in the Old Testament that spoke about the first coming of Christ, every single one of them was literally fulfilled, bar none. You know, we have, for example, Zechariah 12:10, Jesus would be pierced for our sins. That's the crucifixion. Jesus would be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. He would be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. From the line of Abraham, Genesis 12 and 15. From the line of David, 2 Samuel 7. You know, I could go on and on, yeah. Jim. But every one of those prophecies came to pass exactly as God said. And the same thing is true of all the second coming prophecies.
What God has foreordained, folks, will come to pass. Ron Rhodes is our guest here today. I've got tons of questions. We'll pepper him with some more of those after the break here on Crosstalk, as well as we'll tell you how you can obtain a copy of Basic Bible Prophecy. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, since in the Garden of Eden, people were eating plants, and certainly insects died there, can we say that there was no death before sin?
Chris, creationists insist on the biblical doctrine that the wages of sin is death, and that Adam's rebellion brought death into a once very good creation which had no death. In doing so, we must be careful to use the right terms. Certainly Adam and Eve were commanded to eat fruit in the garden, and this implies plant death. It would also be difficult for Adam to avoid stepping on an ant as he walked around. But is this death? The Bible never uses the term living for plants or insects. It teaches that life is in the blood and speaks of the breath of life. Thus only air-breathing, blood-filled animals lived or died. Chris, there was no true death before sin. Let's go back to Genesis for our perspective on these things.
Thanks for joining us for Back to Genesis.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today is Ron Rhodes, who is president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries. And so many of you have obtained his books. You find them to be very helpful. And if this is one of those topics you struggle with, or I know nothing about this topic of Bible prophecy, or I need somebody to put those cookies on the lower shelf, this is a book that will do just that. Ron gets into the how, the who, the what, the where, the why of Bible prophecy and breaks it down in a very understandable way. And if you consider yourself maybe a beginner in this subject, this is a great book, or perhaps to use it as a method of Bible study to lead a small group in this regard. This book, Basic Bible Prophecy, by the way, it was featured as a February Book of the Month of our VCY bookstore. But in light of this, Ron being on the program with us today, they've extended their special on this book through March the 15th. Through March the 15th. So it's just a short time here, just not too many days. But the book has come out from the publisher, retails at $15.99 plus any applicable tax and shipping. However, through March 15th, our VCY bookstore has reduced this book to get it into your hands. They've reduced it by 50%, and they're offering it for just $7.99 plus any applicable tax or shipping. It's like getting two copies for the price of one. You can go online 24/7 at vcy.com. It'll be there through the 15th of March, vcy.com, at that price. Or you may call during our regular bookstore hours, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. They're open right now at this number, 1-888-722-4829. That's 1-888-722-4829. And again, this half off is available through March the 15th. And Ron, a great time to obtain this book.
Well, it is. And in fact, I might say that this book specializes in helping the reader see the big picture of Bible prophecy.
Yes.
With just enough details to flesh it out so that it's understandable. I had no intention of burying the reader in details like so many prophecy books do. But let me also say that this book is strategically designed to help the reader retain what has been read. This is not a book that you read and then forget everything as soon as you finish it. This book is strategically designed to help you retain the information in your brain, and you might say that this is a learning-enhanced book. It's designed specifically to help the reader to learn, understand, grasp, and keep inside your mind all the big issues of Bible prophecy. So if I might speak in Texas terms, I give you the whole tamale of Bible prophecy. But I give you the whole tamale in small, digestible pieces so that it's palatable to your learning experience as a student of Scripture. And my prayer is that it just blesses many, many people.
Indeed. And Ron, I want to ask you another, just one more how question here that you have in your book, and that is, how do we approach this issue of Bible prophecy? Some say we need to read it literally. Others say, no, it needs to be interpreted in an allegorical approach. How do we know what approach to take?
Well, you know, that's critically important because, you know, depending upon the method that you choose, you're going to end up in different places. And to tell you the truth, I've run into so many people who take an allegorical approach. And when you spiritualize Bible prophecy, every interpreter can come up with their own viewpoint. There's no way to test it. Now, I believe that there's a number of reasons why we should adapt a literal interpretation of Bible prophecy. First of all the prophecies in the Old Testament referring to the first coming of Christ were fulfilled literally. God has set the precedent. If you want to understand how God's going to fulfill prophecy in the future, doesn't it make sense to look at how God has done prophecy in the past? Mm. To me, it makes great sense. Beyond that, a literal interpretation is the normal approach in all languages, and the greater part of the Bible makes perfect sense when taken literally. That's why I tell people, when the plain sense makes good sense, seek no other sense, lest you end up in nonsense. Now, here's something very important, Jim. There are some symbols and figures of speech in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. The fact is, though, that the Bible goes on to help us to understand what those symbols mean. You know, for example, if you go to the book of Revelation, there are obviously some symbols that you find in that book, but the book of Revelation actually defines for you what is meant. For example, there's reference to the waters. That's a metaphor, the waters. And then the text of Revelation goes on to define that term as the Gentile nations. So, yes, there are symbols that you'll find in Scripture, but then those symbols communicate a literal truth, and there are always textual clues in the context which define what those symbols mean. And so that all gets me back to the primary point, and that is that we take a literal approach. Most of Bible prophecy is made in literal propositional statements, and that means that we must use a literal approach in understanding them.
Friends, there's many other questions here in his how section. He's got five different sections in the book, but Ron, I'd like to ask you about some of the who here as well. And putting it in common terms, as we look at the who of Bible prophecy, you use the term good guys and bad guys. Who are some of the good guys in Bible prophecy and some of the bad guys?
Well, some of the good guys are the people that you'd think. First of all, Jesus Christ is the heart and center of Bible prophecy. Jesus is not just the source of Bible prophecy, but he is on center stage. He is the one who is coming again at the second coming. He is the one who will set up the millennial kingdom and reign for 1,000 years. He is the one who will judge the wicked dead at the great white throne judgment. He is the one that will come for the church at the rapture. He is the one that will actually judge Christians at the judgment seat of Christ for receiving rewards or losing rewards. And best of all, we're going to live face to face with him throughout all eternity in the eternal state. So, you know, the number one good guy is Jesus himself. Beyond that, we've also got the 144,000 Jewish prophets that we read about in Revelation 7 and 14. You might recall, Jim, that God called the Jewish people to be his witnesses to the Gentile nations. They failed. But these 144,000 Jewish witnesses will pick up the baton, as it were, and they will fulfill that mandate. They will proclaim the gospel of the kingdom all over the earth, and so that there will be massive conversions during the tribulation period. Another set of good guys are the two mighty prophets of Revelation 11. They're going to have the same kinds of powers as Moses and Elijah. And the fact is, more conversions will come from them. They will have a tremendous ministry. And at the end of their ministry, the Antichrist puts them to death, and their bodies lay in the streets of Jerusalem for over 3 days. But then God breathes the breath of life into them. I can almost picture it in my mind, Jim. Mm-hmm. They rise from the dead, and then they look at all the people who got wide eyes, and they say to them, "Any questions?"
You know, Ron, the whole world's going to see this, too. And some years ago, people thought, how could this even happen? But the technology is there. We can go live anywhere in the world.
Oh, well, it's going to go viral on the Internet. I can promise you that.
Yeah.
And then there's other good guys. You know, there's the great multitude of believers who convert during the tribulation period, and they're countless. Just so many people become believers during the tribulation period. And that just leads me to say that in the darkest period of human history, God's grace continues to shine.
Amen.
And then there's the remnant of Israel. At the very end of the tribulation period, God will remove his judicial punishment of the Jewish people by removing the blinders from their eyes. They will finally recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And right as the forces of the Antichrist are about to attack the remnant and destroy it, they call out to their newfound Messiah, Jesus Christ, "Please, Messiah, come and save us." That is when the second coming of Christ happens. A lot of people don't recognize that the second coming is essentially a rescue mission, but it really is. Christ comes again, and he destroys the forces of the Antichrist. And then finally, there are the sheep and the brothers mentioned in the, Matthew 25, 31 to 46, which is considered to be the judgment of the nations. Jim, you've read it. God,
yes.
Christ will separate the sheep and the goats
yes.
from each other.
Yep.
The goats are the bad guys. The sheep are the ones who helped the brothers during the tribulation period. What does that mean? That means that there will be Christians who help the 144,000 Jewish brothers of Christ during the tribulation period, giving them food and water and so forth. And so those are all of the good guys. And I like that I started with the good guys because it's not all bad when it comes to the end time,
mm-hmm.
but there are bad guys.
Yeah, who are some of those major players?
Well, real quickly, we've got Gog, who heads up this massive northern coalition that's going to attack Israel one day.
Okay, that's G-O-G, Gog, okay?
That's right, Gog. And the fact is that it's going to be Russia and Iran, Sudan, Libya, Turkey, and a number of other Muslim nations. And the interesting thing is, Jim, these nations all have alliances with each other right now as we speak. And they all have a mutual hatred for Israel. So it makes you wonder how much time is going to pass before this attack takes place. So anyway, Gog, G-O-G, is the leader of this mighty invasion. God, of course, is going to destroy them all. Then you've got hardened sinners. You know, when you read 1 and 2 Timothy, we learn an awful lot about the kinds of sinners with hardened hearts that will be around in the end times. People will be lovers of themselves. They will be selfish. They will focus only on their own desires and not the desires of other people. They will be unloving. And Scripture says that this is going to proliferate in the end times. Further, there will be false messiahs, false prophets, and false teachers. Mm-hmm. We've already got that today.
Yes.
But it's going to get even worse during the tribulation period.
These are things Peter warned about, Jude warned about as well.
That's exactly right. In fact, particularly 2 Peter and Jude really warns about these false teachers and how even God's people can fall prey to some of these false teachings. And that's important because false teachings lead to bad behavior. And so one of the reasons why some Christians may have engaged in bad behavior is because they have believed some of the lies of the false teachers. And so that's why there are warnings in Scripture against it. Now, the two worst bad guys are the Antichrist and the false prophet. The Antichrist will set himself up in place of Christ, trying to build his own kingdom during the tribulation period. He will set himself up as God. He will call himself king and put himself on a white horse. He will try to do everything in antithesis to Jesus Christ. And his right-hand man will be the false prophet. This guy will be sort of a charismatic individual, not denominationally, but charismatic in the sense of being able to woo people by the speeches that he gives. And he will fan the flame into a mighty fire in terms of fervor for the Antichrist. And he tries to get the whole world to worship the Antichrist. And, of course, you know what the mark of the beast is.
Yeah.
The mark of the beast will be given to control the world economy, and everybody who takes the mark of the beast will basically be showing alliance or commitment to the cause of the Antichrist. Now, Christians will not take that mark. People who believe in God will refuse it. And it's going to be hard for them to do that because the Scripture says you cannot buy or sell unless you receive the mark of the beast. And why that's important is this. That ultimately means you can't buy or sell food. You might get hungry during the tribulation period if you happen to be here. And so these really are bad guys that we're talking about here.
Ron Rhodes with us here today on Crosstalk. We're going to take a quick break and going to come back and probe him a little bit more about this one known as Antichrist. Folks, we're just scratching the surface of the book. It is packed full of information. It's available right now at vcy.com. They have it at 50% off through March the 15th or by calling 1-888-722-4829. 1-888-722-4829. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Cemeteries and mausoleums are evidence of the sad reality of death and that each of us has a divine appointment with death. According to surveys, Americans overwhelmingly believe that heaven exists and believe that most are going there. A small number believes that hell exists, with only 0.5% believing they will go there when they die. What if those who do not believe in hell die one day and find they made a tragic and eternal mistake? In the book, Hell is for Real, author Gary Fraser discusses the separation, the suffering, and the sorrow of hell, along with future events that will unfold. There is much information given by movies, television, psychics, and even by many religious circles. Gary presents scriptural truth on this important topic. VCY is making available the book, Hell is for Real, as our way of saying thank you for your support of $15 or more. Two copies for a donation of $25. Just ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
Basic Bible Prophecy, Essential Facts Every Christian Should Know. Ron Rhodes is our guest today, president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries, and has put biblical principles and concepts into an easy-to-understand way in this book, as he has in so many of his other books as well. And we'll tell you again, if you missed, how you can get a copy of the book. We'll tell you about that as well. Ron, we're talking about some of the who's here, and who are some of the good guys, and who are some of the bad guys. You mentioned this Antichrist. Is it possible that this Antichrist is alive today?
I believe that he is alive today, and I think he's waiting in the wings, waiting to be empowered by Satan himself. We know that he's going to be empowered by Satan because in 2 Thessalonians 2, we are told that Satan will actually energize the Antichrist. And then in Revelation 13, we are told that the Antichrist will empower, that Satan will empower the Antichrist with authority. Now, that's an important thing because I believe that all throughout human history, Satan has had his man waiting in the wings, and it was a different man as each generation passed. But you see, he doesn't know prophecy like God knows. He doesn't know the exact timing like God knows. And so he's tried to be prepared by having a man ready in the wings so that Satan could indwell him at the right moment.
Wow.
Now, I believe that that man is alive today, and I say that because of the convergence of Bible prophecies that we are witnessing on the scene today. The Bible prophesies a massive invasion into Israel by multiple Muslim nations. All of those nations are ready to attack. They already have alliances with each other. Scripture says that in the tribulation period, the Jews will rebuild the temple. Already the money is being raised. The architectural plans are being put together. The Sanhedrin has actually hired architects to do this. A lot of the instruments for the temple are being prefabricated. Oh, and did I mention that Israel has been reborn as a nation?
Yeah.
That happened back in 1948. There are so many things happening today that we can say that multiple prophecies are converging in our time. That leads me to believe that the Antichrist probably is alive in the world today. And one day, Satan will energize him during the tribulation period. And I believe that this will take place sometime after the rapture, which is the next main prophetic event that we can look forward to.
Indeed. And let me just bring in one aspect. You talked about the mark of the beast earlier, and I know you don't get into some of the current issues as much on here because you deal with a lot of the who, what, where, when, etc. But this mark... aren't we seeing a classic example of what's going on even with the COVID and a vaccine and those who are going to require, we've got businesses that are requiring this of their employees. We've got nations who are saying, if you want to come into our country or even the mask, if you want to come into our store, you must have this or that. And we see that whole scenario unfolding before us. Now, I'm not saying that the mask or the vaccine is that mark of the beast, but isn't this like a dress rehearsal of things to come?
Well, you could say it's setting the stage for what's to come. Yeah, and you're right. You know, even with the COVID vaccine, you've got a lot of emphasis on tracking and tracing how these things develop and how one person has infected two others and how those two people infected four other people. And by using a technology, they're able to track people. Well, I think that part of the mark of the beast will involve tracking people. And the technology is here to make that happen. You know, we're also told that, people have to have a passport. They're going to have a passport to get on planes, some kind of a vaccine passport. And that you can't work in this particular business unless you've got this vaccine passport. Well, in the future, there's going to be a mark on the hand or the forehead, which will essentially be a passport. It's a passport to be able to do business. You can buy or sell. And probably that buying or selling has a lot to do with New Babylon, which is going to be the economic center during the tribulation period. Nobody will be able to buy or sell without that passport tattooed on their hand. You know, it could be a tattoo. It could be a chip implanted under the skin. I mean, there's a lot of things that it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be a passport to business. And so we see that in a way, in a preliminary fashion, with some of the stuff that's gone on with the COVID vaccines.
Yeah, the technology is there, Ron. And is there something else? And I know this, I just digress a bit, but it's present day. I mean, we are seeing FEMA put up these vaccination sites all across the country. And I know they came here to our state of Wisconsin. And they said, well, are you going to be having extra vaccines coming with them? No, we're going to be using the state supply. And so it's like, why do we then need these FEMA sites for this? Because we got plenty of sites, but they don't have enough vaccine for it. And I thought, wow, wouldn't that be interesting to have all these extra sites set up for FEMA, but for the purpose of some other future mark that's going to be mandated that things will be in place for such a time as that?
Well, that's right. And, you know, the thing of it to me, Jim, is that, you know, you look at this thing with the COVID and how it might relate to setting the stage for the future mark of the beast. But look at the other stuff. We've had a global pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
This has made a whole lot of people interested in Jesus' own warnings about the tribulation period in which there's going to be plagues in many lands.
And, Ron, I'm going to just interrupt for a moment of friends. We'll get to phones in a little bit here. But, Ron, you're just getting into a section, and it is in your book here, in which you lay out this unfolding of events to come. And if I could just have you just quickly go through, you had mentioned the rapture, you're talking about the tribulation, but some of these what's as to what's to unfold here and what is going to unfold in that tribulation?
Well, that's a good question. Now, in the tribulation period, you're going to have a lot of stuff happening. It begins with the Antichrist covenant with Israel. The signs of the times will confirm that the end times have arrived. Those signs include cosmic signs, you know, like earthquakes and signs in the skies and so forth. The Antichrist becomes a powerful leader. Christ starts to inflict his judgments upon the fallen world. Deception will run rampant, but God's light will continue to shine through the 144,000 Jewish evangelists and God's two prophets. At the midpoint, Jim, the Antichrist will exalt himself as God, and then he'll be apparently executed, but he resurrects from the dead, and the world will worship him. The false prophet will try to get the world to worship him. Eventually, the Antichrist will desecrate the Jewish temple, and all the Jews who live in Jerusalem will get out of town quick, and God will take care of that Jewish remnant in the wilderness. And then the second half of the tribulation is called the Great Tribulation because things get even worse. And at that time, New Babylon comes into power as the political and commercial powerhouse of the world. People have to receive the mark of the beast. The Antichrist controls the world economically. God's judgments continue to fall. And eventually, Jim, Armageddon breaks out at the very end of the tribulation period. New Babylon is destroyed. The Antichrist will destroy Jerusalem. He tries to attack the Jewish remnant, but the Jewish remnant converts to Christ, and they call out to Jesus, and Jesus comes again, and he destroys the forces of the Antichrist. Now, that's about as jam-packed a description of the tribulations I've ever given, but I've covered this in such a way to make it easily memorable. And I do it by covering a number of different vantage points, the who, what, when, why, and where.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a excellent learning strategy. And people ask me, Ron Rhodes, how did you learn Bible prophecy? It's by studying the who, what, when, why, and where.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in this book, what worked for me. And so I think it's going to help a lot of people.
Let me just conclude our time here, Ron, for our portion, just asking why. Why does God lay these things out for us the way he does in his word?
Well, he does that because he wants not only to give us an intellectual knowledge of the future, but he also wants it to be life-changing for us. God wants us to live expectantly, for example. The very fact that Christ could come at any moment at the rapture and that we're going to be with him, and the very fact that as soon as we get raptured, we're going to receive brand new bodies that never get sick and never age and never have to have heart transplants and, you know, an incredible eternal body that we're going to receive. And the very fact that we're going to be together again with all of our loved ones who are Christians in the afterlife, that's living expectantly. That's one of the things that prophecy does for you. Beyond that, prophecy is a strong motivation to live righteously. Since we don't know when Christ is coming for us, we got to be ready all the time. Some people ask me, Ron, sometimes I just don't feel like being good. Sometimes I don't feel like living righteously. And I always ask them, do you study prophecy? If you study prophecy, that's one thing that's going to give you a powerful motivation to live righteously. Hmm. And then finally, Jim, prophecy helps us to live with an eternal perspective. You know, among many verses I cover is Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, mm-hmm. where it talks about keeping our eyes focused on heaven. That's an imperative in the Greek. It's not an option for the Christian. God commands you, keep your eyes on heaven. Secondly, it's a present tense in the Greek. That means it's 24/7. It's ongoing. Every day that passes, every hour that passes, every minute that passes, we ought to have our thoughts on heaven, because that's a powerful motivation for us to live the way that God wants us to.
Amen. Amen. Ron Rhodes is with us today, friends. And through the 15th of this month of March, the VCY Bookstore is offering his book. They've extended it here in light of Ron's interview with us today for another 2 weeks at 50% off regular price, normally $15.99. They have it for just $7.99 plus any applicable tax or shipping. Those that are within driving distance can stop there and pick it up, but many of you, of course, need to have it shipped to you. You can go online at vcy.com, vcy.com, or you may call and be patient. If you get a busy, just call them back, 1-888-722-4829. 1-888-722-4829. Our phone number to Crosstalk today, maybe you've got a question on this whole topic. We've really given just an overview. Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Our guest today, Ron Rhodes, 800-733-9829. If you have a question you'd like to ask regarding the things that have been said here today, there's so much more. We've just but scratched the surface as it relates to these issues. And so, Ron, let me ask you what question here before the first call. What do you desire to be the takeaway from your book? What desire do you have this book is going to accomplish in the lives of the reader?
Well, I think that I would answer that by pointing to the fact that Bible prophecy is not just to be an intellectual exercise. Mm. It is something that impacts us in the here and now, in the sense that it helps us to understand that God is in control. It helps us to understand that the Bible is trustworthy. It helps us to have the peace that passes understanding in our hearts as we know and trust in the fact that God is sovereign over human history. It gives us that strong sense of expectancy that no matter what happens to us, even if we die, we're going to have brand new body upgrades, resurrection bodies that never die again.
Wow.
You see, all of those things combined changes the way you think.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot study prophecy and remain the same person that you were before. Prophecy is going to change your outlook on everything in your life. And what I've done in this book is that I think that maybe for the first time, there will be many people out there who will have an aha moment and conclude, you know what? Maybe I can understand prophecy after all.
Yeah.
Maybe I can be excited just like these guys are excited.
Essential Facts Every Christian Should Know is the subtitle. Our lines are packed, so we're going to take this 60-second break. We'll come back. We'll take your questions with Ron Rhodes here today on Crosstalk at 800-733-9829. There's so much more to unpack. You'll get it, though, as you obtain the book. We'll be back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Perhaps one of the greatest schemes coming globally is the carbon tax or carbon credit. The idea is you need to be taxed for simply being alive, for simply breathing, putting out carbon dioxide. Then you add the fact that you actually drive a car, heat your home, or use an air conditioner. One study shows that the average home, the average household in America, puts out 48 tons of carbon dioxide. That means you need to be taxed at least $51 a ton, according to the new Biden administration. That would be a tax on the average American family of almost $2,500. Are you ready for an additional $2,500 in taxes? Or how about this? The real target price, they say some, is $400 per ton. Are you ready for a tax bill of over $19,000? Well, get ready, because they're going to start forcing you to buy carbon offsets, paying a tax credit. This is a complete global scam.
don't know about you, listeners, but I could sure use another hour or two here talking with Ron Rhodes on these very issues here today. But we'll give you opportunity to ask some of your questions. Basic Bible Prophecy is the name of the book. Ron Rhodes is our guest, president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries. Let's go right to the phone lines. We've got Julie calling in from Pensacola, Florida. Julie, you're on the air.
Thank you. I have two questions. One is, those of us who are born again and saved, are we going to be required to get the mark of the beast? And then, is China involved in the countries with, like, Russia and all of the Muslim countries that are part of the Antichrist? And then one last question is, somewhere in the Bible, there was a verse that I read a while back ago about pray that it doesn't happen when it's in the middle of winter or either it was at nighttime. Could you maybe define what that meant?
Thank you, Julie. There's another hour of questions right there, Ron.
Well, let's take the last verse and then work backwards. Pray it doesn't happen. That's from Matthew 24. That's talking about the fact that the Antichrist is going to move into Jerusalem and set up his headquarters there. And it's at that point that Jesus instructs the Jewish people to get out of town quick. Leave immediately, because if you don't leave now, you will die at the hands of the Antichrist. And so the remnant escapes out of Jerusalem into the wilderness, and God cares for that remnant for the second half of the tribulation period. And, you know, part of the text is, you know, pray that it doesn't happen, for example, when a woman is pregnant. It's going to be hard for a pregnant woman to travel that fast and that quickly during that time. That's what Jesus is talking about. It will be a woeful time for the Jewish people in Jerusalem at that time. But many, many Jews will escape as the remnant, and they'll be in the wilderness. Secondly, yes, China is involved. They're a part of the Kings of the East, and they will apparently move against the forces of the Antichrist. That's going to be part of the unfolding campaign known as Armageddon. And the clearing up of the, or the drying up the Euphrates River, which is prophetically foretold, makes it possible for the kings of the East to move against the Antichrist. And there will be casualties so massive, Jim, that, you know, you've read about it. I almost hesitate to say it, but the blood comes up to the horse's, you know, bridle.
Yep.
And so it's going to be a horrible time. Armageddon is just, it's like God's final set of judgments that fall upon the world.
And what about this mark of the beast? Is this something that believers in Christ will be faced with having to take or not?
Well, not believers that live today, because we're going to be raptured prior to the tribulation period. The church is promised to be delivered from the wrath to come. There's no purpose in the church being on earth during this time, because the tribulation period deals with the unbelieving nations and unrepentant Israel. Of course, Israel will become, the remnant will be saved at the end of the tribulation period. But see, the church has no business being there. God has protected the church by rapturing it out before that time. Now, the thing is, there will be many people who become believers during the tribulation period, and that could be as a result of the 144,000 Jewish witnesses or the two mighty prophetic witnesses. Or, Jim, maybe they're going to listen to old shows of yours that are still being played on the, you know,
on the Internet, yeah.
On the Internet, maybe. And the thing is, they will be faced with this choice, but they will refuse.
Yeah.
See, they know that if they take that mark, God's wrath will fall on them. That's what the text of Revelation says. Anybody that takes the mark will be a recipient of God's wrath. And so believers will never make that decision to do so. They will hold off, even if they have to suffer, even if they have to starve to death, because they know that what lies beyond the grave is resurrection and an eternity with Christ in heaven.
Let's get to Ed in Spencer, Tennessee. Ed, you're on the air.
I like to discuss Revelation 3:3. It says, if you do not watch, I will come on you as a thief, and you will not know the hour of coming.
Okay.
Clearly, he's talking to those that are not the body of Christ. So it does not suggest that the those that do watch, there will be a time, a certain time that Christ will come, and that would be the Feast of Trumpets and Leviticus 23:24.
Okay, Ed, we're going to have him address this issue. This is from Revelation 3:3, one of the letters to the seven churches, Ron.
Yeah, and in this context, even though the book of Revelation does talk about the second coming, the second coming is really in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 and following. In this case, I don't think that that's what's being referred to. This is talking about the sudden and unexpected coming of Christ to this unrepentant dead church to inflict harm and destruction. And so this is common in the seven churches. Christ gives a commendation when he can, but he also has to speak forth criticisms of each individual church if they exist. And he always provides a motivation to repent. And the motivation for repentance for this particular church is, you either deal with the issues that I've spoken to you about, or I will come to you in judgment. Hmm. So this is not talking about the second coming. That's in Revelation 19.
Thank you, Ed. Bonnie in Two Harbors, Minnesota, you're on the air.
Hi, Ron, I wanted to ask you, when you were talking before about end time signs, and we all know about there's supposed to be signs in the sky and everything, there is something I learned about just a few days ago. It's called Project Bluebeam. And, you know, everything sounds like a conspiracy theory nowadays, but this apparently is something where images can be shot on the clouds that look very specific, that have very specific images. And I wondered if you had ever heard of it. And it reminds me of one of the things that the people who are supposed to be taking over the world, another conspiracy theory.
I'll tell you what, Bonnie, we're less than 60 seconds. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Ron, I want to give you a few seconds here to respond.
Well, that is interesting. I have heard about that, and I think it is something to speculate about. The scriptures do make reference to signs in the skies that people will see. It's probably referring to cosmic signs like meteors and asteroids and stuff like that. I don't necessarily see this phenomenon of projecting images onto the clouds as part of the prophecy, but what I would say is that you never know. There could be something that's projected, on the clouds during that time frame. But the primary reference to the signs in the skies, I think, are like astronomical-type signs.
Thank you for the call here, Bonnie. And I apologize. I know so many of you have other questions. We've just run out of time. Ron Rhodes is our guest. Ron, thank you for being with us here today for the broadcast.
My pleasure, always. Thank you.
And friends, the Scripture says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Certainly, with an eye toward the future, the prophetic living ought to lead us toward pure living in such a time as this. I wish we had more time. There's so much more to say, but you'll find it in his book, Basic Bible Prophecy, Essential Facts Every Christian Should Know. Check it out at vcy.com or 1-888-722-4829. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.